Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Hello there, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to another Trench Run episode. Today we're going over the Acolyte and our show, Acolyte Identity, what we're calling it. We're going over episode 3, which is called Destiny today. Sitting with me today are
Justin Gray, standing by.
Sean McKinley, standing by.
Aaron Russo, standing by.
And away we go. Alright, so we'll probably just go over... You guys want to do just likes, dislikes, then just open floor conversation?
Sure.
Yep. Cool.
So there was a lot of buzz about this episode going into it, a lot of chatter from people who've seen it, from press screeners, and from people who haven't seen it yet, but just want to make a news cycle, and then leaks, yeah. Leaks. So there's a lot of stakes, let's say, in the culture war. This was a major skirmish in the old culture war was the lead up and I'm sure fallout of this episode, rightfully or not, but that'll remain to be seen whether it's justified. But certainly the week leading up to this had a lot of drama on the interwebs, which take that for what you will, but to the extent that that exists and is real, to the extent you live your life online, it was a busy week with that. That was the prime discussion point was the show and this episode in particular, and what it means, what it doesn't mean, what it means if you think certain things about it, what it means if you think other things about it. I'm like, the battle lines are being drawn all week, and that's kind of frustrating, annoying, exhausting, confusing state of affairs. Entertaining, yeah, you could say. The Shiden fruit is definitely strong in it.
It's definitely...
Same headache for me.
Yeah, right.
It definitely creates buzz, it creates interest, it gets people paying attention, I think, for better or worse. My annoyance with any of the precursor to this is that my experience, and not just with Star Wars, with really almost anything where before anybody even sees it, there's this prediction of some kind of either, you know, just it's going to suck or it's going to be woke or it's going to be whatever, sight unseen, or somebody who's seen it messages that, but no one else has seen it. And so then we're all prisoners to this argument about something that none of us have seen, and then we watch it, and at least for me, I'm like, it's kind of like a hype for like a boxing match, and then you watch the fight and it's like, that's it. They just clinched each other the whole time. That was so boring, like that nobody got knocked out. Like it almost is like it creates like an environment where it's like it robs you of just experiencing what you're gonna get. And I guess that's on everybody to figure out how much they want to pay attention to that, but I can't believe that was it. Like, I'm just, me personally, it's like that is even less potentially agenda driven than something like Lightyear or I can't even really think of anything else.
DC Legends of Tomorrow was a little heavy on it.
I never saw that. Okay. I've heard that X-Men 97 maybe was a little bit...
But everyone loves that.
...heavy-handed, but everybody loved it.
The usual suspects who are... Like, those who are preparing on one side of the skirmish line on this also all love X-Men 97, which has quote unquote woke content in it too. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember.
No, I'm just saying that's just what
I'm old enough to remember. I didn't watch it either, but I'm old enough to remember before that came out, before X-Men 97 came out, there was, oh, it has XYZ in it. It has, oh, they made this person trans in it. They blah, 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 blah.
That's been and in then, X-Men for a long time.
I know, but then it came out and then they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. And then like they changed their tune. So it's like, that's where I'm like, it's hard to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, it's like, for me, that stuff, like, it's like if you're watching like a sports franchise and you had like a particular analyst or a particular channel who like they can like read the preseason stuff going on and like the trades that were made and like they can make a solid prediction before a season starts of how a season's going to go or how like a World Series is going to go, and like when they make their prediction and then it comes true more often than not, like you trust that analysis more than the people who are like they're making predictions that don't come true, or they're like pulling stuff out of the butt that doesn't come from anywhere. Like then you're like, well, you don't have credibility. But for me, the analogy here is like there are creators out there who like call it correctly, right? Like they say this is gonna be bad, and then I watch it and I'm like, it's bad. They were right for the same reasons that they said were bad. Like they, and then you know, like there's like 80% overlap a lot of the time where it's like, yep, like some of the stuff you didn't like about it, I didn't mind, I didn't care. You care about that, fine. But like 75-80% of it, or at least 50% of it, I'm like, yep, like these three or four reasons why you thought it was bad, I also agree it was bad on those reasons. But I'm not only, you know, fully on, but like I'm directionally usually in that camp. The more and more with like the Disney TV stuff. All the TV shows, other than Andor, which was its own thing, because it was outside of the like California orbit, basically, because it was done in England, right? Off to the side. The kind of the stuff made in Hollywood, as it were, is of a certain character and kind of formula that is increasingly predictable and frustratingly mediocre to me as somebody who's like, I don't know, I'm kind of spoiled on more prestige TV, and if that's not what this is supposed to be, then I should probably adjust my expectations. But like I assume that this is supposed to be Disney's answer to like, we're trying to be in the big leagues of HBO and all the premium prestige TV that's out there. If they're trying to do that, like they're like the worst team in the MLB trying to fight against the Yankees, right? Like it's just like they're not even the same league to me. Mm-hmm. On like the quality of making a quality TV show that like works as a TV show and like is hitting like all cylinders, it's frustratingly mid to below that on almost every product they've put out. Strictly from like a creative product side, not like anything about an agenda or like, because like of course like the, like the creators, like George Lucas's like his like gearhead ideas and his like anti-Vietnam War kind of mentality, like he's a product of his time, and that all comes through in Star Wars, right? His like his fast cars, lasers, like cowboy stuff, like that all comes out. So like of course like a, you know, middle-aged lesbian who's making something, like, and she has said, like, there's no way this can't come, like, there's no way it's not going to come out in my creative process. Like, she has said herself that, like, this is, like, a, you could say a vanity project. Like, this is, like, her soul bared on the parchment of her medium, like any artist, right? And so, like, you do need to encounter it like that. Like, you can't pretend, like, oh, well, that's checked at the door. Like, no, every artist puts out what's in their heart, what's in their soul onto their canvas, whatever it is. In this case, it's a TV show. But that doesn't mean you have to, like, it's an error to, like, just reactionarily, instinctively react and, like, push that back before you've seen it or before, like, if your primary encounter with a piece of art is, like, disgust, right? Or, like, fear, like, that's something you should check in yourself, right? Like, why can't you have at least some sense of, like, open-mindedness or some sense of like, just go instead of erg, right? Like think of your guttural sound should be and not
or
erg.
You know what I mean? I think it's valid. I think it's perfectly valid for someone to just say, you know what, I'm just not even gonna bother. Like, I'm just not even gonna engage.
Well, that's what the audience has done. If right. You check the viewership numbers, like the creators, the YouTube creators, like they need to feed the sharks every day. Like, they have content to put out. That's a different class of people. The regular audience is, this is half of the half. This is half the viewership of Ahsoka's first 5 days, and that was half of like Andor's.
Half. Where'd you get that number?
That just came out today. They had the Disney released like the 5 day premiere. It was like 11 million or something. Not half. It's like, so it's like 11 million views, and Ahsoka had 14 after 5 days, and like House of the Dragon season one, the series premiere of House of the Dragon had 10 million in like just that night when it premiered, right?
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like their viewership is collapsing every show that comes out ever since like Mando season 3. It's just been collapsing, and it's like a decay. And so like, yes, if viewers are like, eh, they're not checking. They're not either not checked in because like the marketing didn't grab them, or they've checked out.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying like if someone just, I mean, that's, I agree. Like if you're gonna engage the content, if you make a decision to engage the content,
yeah,
then you should approach it. I mean, I don't see why. I mean, I guess, well, actually, I take that back. One thing I'll never understand is the whole concept of hate watching. Like, I don't even, like...
Well, I can vouch somewhat on that. I mean, I watch The Room. I watch stuff that I don't
like. That's not hate watching. That is not hate watching. That is...
It's so bad, it's good.
This is, yes, that is, and that is a shared experience. That's like, when I watch the holiday special, that is not hate watching.
What do you call, what would you call, like... Like, you've seen, like, Mystery Science Theater 3000, where, like, they watch, like, 50s campy movies and then just, like, riff track it. Like, they just, like, that's, kind of make fun of it while they're watching it the whole time.
That's not hate watching.
Okay, because I like that. I love that. I get more entertainment value out of people, like, dunking on stuff.
People all going into a theater to watch The Room and then joking and laughing and screaming at the screen and, like, heckling. That is not hate watching. That is pure joy.
So is hate watching just...
Hate watching is...
I'm going in
there. I've already decided I don't like this, and mm-hmm. now I'm going to watch it with the intention of looking for the things I already don't like about it. And then, after I watch it, I'm going to talk again about the same things I talked about before that I hated, that I forced myself to see in the show, and then I'm going to tell you how much I hate it for all the reasons I already told you I hated it before it even came out. But I watched it anyway, and then I... Like
that sounds miserable.
That's just like.
But if it sparks, if it sparks joy for them, then right. Like if they're getting like if they have fun, I mean. So like I do love like when there's a bad show and people are creatively dunking on it. I find shade and fruit in that. I find that to be hilarious and like highly entertaining.
Really?
Even if it's something that I like. So like, if there's a show I like, or like when I watch like, so when I watch like reactions of like, we're like Gen Z, like we should like millennials show Gen Z Friends, and they don't get it, and it's fun watching like Gen Z like, you guys think this is funny, and I'm like, aha, that's funny. Like I grew up with Friends, and I think it's, you know, I thought it was funny when I was a kid, but now I can see from Gen Z seeing it, like I can see like the meta of like, oh, now I see it from a new angle. They don't like it, and I can see why they don't like it, and that's funny. Like it's funny to watch them dunk on it, right? So it's like I feel like I can have the ability, like it's a gift and a curse to like hold everything at arm's length. Like it can be to my detriment because it's hard to like pull things into my heart because I just hold everything here, right? But like the upside of being able to like hold everything at arm's length loosely is like I can just as easily like be a shill for something as I can just like rip it apart. I can be a critic of something, or I can like I could write both articles and put them on Rotten Tomatoes and you wouldn't know like which one, like I could put a pseudonym on each one. And you wouldn't know it's the same person.
I'm just saying, like
I can do that.
For like, I'll use the example of, to me. So first thing I would say is, I really don't like to use the word hate. And it's not because of the word itself, but like, I feel like this, to even say that there's any TV show that I would use the, like, to me, like. I hate, like, Nazis. I don't hate the New York Yankees. Like, I don't even understand, like, people say, I hate the Ohio State Buckeyes. I'm like, mm-hmm. You do?
Yes.
I get that, right. Most people, it's like...
They don't mean... But, like, there's different categories, like small hate
and capital hate. I'll tell you, like, there are people
yeah.
who kill each other
yeah, in, like,
at sporting
England.
Events.
Right. Over, okay. Yeah.
Like,
That's just the vestiges of like tribal warfare from like the barbarian days. Like that's all we have left of blood sports. You know what I mean?
I'll use the example of for me the issue is like there isn't very much content. Like there's some, everybody has content that they just have no interest in to begin with, and so then it's like, well, why would I watch? I don't even right. like. I don't watch reality TV.
Right.
Yeah.
I have no desire to. So I don't know why I would watch that. Knowing that I don't want to watch it, that when I watch it, I won't like it. And then when I'm done watching it, I either still won't like it or I'll like it even less. Like, I don't know why I would want to spend hours and hours of my day or my life doing that. Now, in the context of Star Wars, I'll use the example of Resistance. That cartoon, Resistance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Not for you.
So, like, Star Wars, anything comes out of Star Wars, I'm going to give it a shot. Everything. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm giving it a shot.
Even, the little preschool show?
No, I haven't given that a shot. I don't have so much time in my life. I mean, if someone says, hey, this is for three-year-olds, I'm like, well, no, then...
That's not me. Yeah.
I'm not a three-year-old.
But put my grandson in front of it and we'll watch it.
Yeah, sure. But, so, I tried Resistance. And I really didn't like it. I mean, I really did not like it. It just wasn't good to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stopped watching it.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't like make That's a channel it. That just right. hate, like, hates it.
And I also didn't keep watching it so that I could make videos
right.
so I could keep telling you how much I hate it.
Right.
Like, I just don't have the energy for that. Like, I just, mm-hmm. if watching something is just truly that unenjoyable for me, then I just won't watch it. So I don't understand the hate watch thing. Like, I get it if it's a situation where it's like, maybe I guess you could make the argument, well, these people are making a living being critics, although I think that word critic gets used too liberally now too. Like,
right, on all sides.
Like, what is a critic? Everybody's a critic now, because everybody can...
Right.
We're being critics right now.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But
the era of the actual movie critic is long over in the age of the internet.
I think that what's unfortunate about that is that... I would say, like, it's just, this is a classic example of it for me in the sense that it's like, I've never seen anything where so many people are, like, I have zero problem. If people are just like, you know, I just don't enjoy Star Wars anymore. The Disney stuff is just such a disappointment to me. I don't want to watch it anymore, or I don't want to even deal with what could be an agenda-driven show. I'm going to tune out.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I mean, people do that all the time. But, like, to go out of your way to feel that way and then say, well, but I'm going to watch every episode, even though I don't want to, supposedly, and then I'm going to look for the things that I don't like, and then I'm gonna hyper focus on that. Like, if you truly don't like something, it's really hard to stay focused on it. Like,
yep.
Because it's just like, I don't like it. Like, I don't know why you would do that.
I think there's some compulsion from that corner to like resist the zeitgeist of like, let's fawn over, like it's like a hashtag resistance in reverse, where it's like, if like the movement, quote unquote, is like, right, so it's like cool or whatever to be anti-Disney and like anti-woke and whatever, like it's like a bandwagon.
Yeah, but then that's just tribalism, so like, and that's sad.
Right, but like, it's, but it's like, well, resistance, counter-resistance is what it is. So it's like, you know what I mean, like there was a hegemonic cultural power, and then there was like the marginalized people became unmarginalized, and then now there's resistance to the previously marginalized people getting in positions of power and authority in the cultural highlands, as it were, or the cultural high points, and then there's a reactionary resistance to that, and like the cycle just is endless.
I'll tell you, if I was like a militant feminist lesbian, and I,
yeah, what would you think of this?
And I had heard all the hype about this show, and I watched that episode, I'd have been like, there wasn't nothing in that, like barely,
right?
Like barely. I mean, honestly, like
that gets to the point.
Speak freely, like. The Night Sister stuff looked more lesbian sensual than that. That was actually just bad.
I think it was just cringe. Yeah, like
it was cringe, dude. Right. I feel like I was watching Star Trek.
Yeah, that was, yes. That's my main takeaway is that that was just like cringe, like not good. The kid actors were not good, like distractingly bad. Like it just, and then like I think they're heavily implying, like I kind of mentioned while we were watching it, I think they are heavily setting up that because Osha was like, she was like escaping the fire and in that tunnel, and then when she comes out, everyone's dead and like she gets taken away. I think that something happened and like the Jedi killed all of the witches. Oof. Either in like a like who shot first kind of idea, and that Mei saw all that, and obviously Mei is alive. So like they both, they,
you really think yes. that that's the story?
I think, well, I think like
the Jedi just slaughtered,
I think
those
they
people?
Might have come in to help. We saw a fire, were coming in to help, and then the witches thought that they were coming to take the kids, and like it was a big misunderstanding, and then there's like something happened. They like glossed over too. Like suddenly all these bodies are just in the middle of the floor where there's no fire, and like in a giant room without, like, it's not like they were like getting smoke poisoning, it's like an open room. So like there's something happened, like they're setting it up clumsily to like be like, oh, we're gonna find out like Mei's side of the story eventually, and like this is why she's so hell-bent on killing these four Jedi 16 years later, is because she saw them, like, and even she could be misunderstanding what she saw, right? Because it's like through the eyes of a child. So like I think that's what they're trying to do with this, is like make you like not trust anyone's viewpoint, which is like extremely postmodern, of course. Like this is very like, this is very a very postmodern, that's what's so jarring about it, is like Star Wars is thoroughly modern and this is like thoroughly postmodern.
I don't see that. I keep waiting for that to be the case, and I'm not like, even okay, like,
no, it's about power and who's allowed to use it. That's like the essence of postmodernism.
No, but she was saying it to her. That was a total misdirect, dude. That was such a misdirect. No, she was saying it to her. She was saying it's about power and who gets to use it. And she was saying to her, you have power and you get to decide how you use it. That's what I interpreted that. I think they misdirected in the trailer to make you think she was talking about the Jedi.
I think she was talking about the Jedi.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because she had disdain for them. She's like, they call it the Force, and like that they can wield it. And she's like, but we know better. We know, like, then again,
I think her mother was. My whole take on all of that was that I sensed a lot of misdirect there. Like, I think they were actually. I mean, who did you think was worse than this?
I mean, the trailer did make it seem like she was like the big bad for this season, and was like,
she wasn't
like trying to confront the Jedi by saying like. Yeah, that was like
the other trailer. Bitch. She was a loony. Sorry, I'm sorry. No,
Well, so that's confusing. So like that was what was confusing to me. Like I don't understand. Like there's so much that doesn't make sense with this. Like they apparently are exiled because the galaxy doesn't like welcome women like us. Which I like in the story means the witches. In like the meta means lesbians. Like let's. Be real, like that's the self-insert, but like in the story it means like witches who use like the thread instead of the Force, which again, if you want to do like a whole different take on the Force, fine, just do it awesome and great, and like this is like the weakest like first draft version you can figure out to do of like, let's call it the thread instead of the Force, and like I don't know, it's like weak sauce, but like the idea for sure, have a group that uses and understand the Force differently, whatever. Kind of saw that with Ahsoka, kind of, they kind of went there with like Ezra and all that, but just, yeah.
There just wasn't enough context for it to be meaningful.
But, like, I don't understand, like, yeah, so, like, if they're, like, on the run, and, like, how did the Jedi find them? How do they know that there's kids there? How do they...
Right.
Know,
they
like,
didn't give
and
us
then, like,
context.
One is, like, militantly, like, no, not over my dead body, but then, like, the mom's like, well, we have to let them decide, or, like, maybe they will. Okay, let's go get tested unsupervised, and then, like, I don't know, just, like, so many confusing things are happening. Like, if this was real life, like, a mama bear would never be, like, I don't know, like, if... And, like, is the Jedi, like, are they, like, recruiting, or are they, like... Are they, like, Child Protective Services? Like, what is... And if they're, like, outside the jurisdiction of the Republic, whatever, it's like, the law says, and they're like, we don't recognize the law in these parts, and it's like, okay, then stick with that, but then you flip-flop of, like, okay, I guess you can test them, and then, like, oh, but you gotta trick them out of it. You gotta fail to get out of it,
so
and
I
then
think,
they can't fail.
I think that's exactly
and it's like,
the
what
point.
Is going on?
That's the point. The point was to not answer that question.
No, I'm saying, like, there's
like,
not there's internal
both,
logic in, the, like, the
on,
script.
On both sides, you're like, ooh, the Covens... Mixed. I have mixed feelings about them, and I have mixed feelings about the Jedi. Like when you're watching, when I'm watching that unfold, I was like, I can see how that could be problematic.
Mm-hmm. But I have just more like, but why questions? Like they didn't explain or even say. Like so, it's like the show don't tell, right? But they didn't even tell some stuff. It's like, how do the Jedi like find them? How do they know where there's Force sensitive kids? Like, what's the How do they surveil that? Like in our country, you do like you do heel sticks of newborns to do blood spot testing to test for all kinds of stuff, and there's a database. It's like, but they're not like supervising every single birth in the galaxy, as far as we know, right? And it's like, if this group is like exiled, then why would the Jedi like why would they? Why would the Jedi know where they are when they need to like leave? And why would they like at all? Like, wouldn't they like resist to the last person? Like the ability for the Jedi to like get
anywhere
near the kids.
In the High Republic books, there's people called Seekers.
Well, that's like even in that's canon. Like even like back then.
Yep.
Back in the EU, there were like certain Jedi that were that their purpose was to look for younger Force-sensitive children,
and
preferably babies, because
sense it through the Force.
Yep.
But I always understood it as like more or less, it was considered like a great honor and a duty of like parents. Like they were like honored to like, oh, I get to hand over my kid and consecrate my kid to the Force. Like this is a great honor of my family that I'm like handing over my kid. Like it was like they drink the Kool-Aid. So like, yes, you could play with like, what about the people who like aren't cool with that? And like,
I mean, like one of the biggest questions that, kind of that this episode raises is like, or at least for me, when I'm watching it, I'm like, well, damn, can someone that young make that decision?
And then, how would she know what a Jedi is and that she wants to be one? Like, that's the other thing. If this is like some kind of like isolated commune, like, what would she have any context to know what the Jedi are and that she wants to be one? Like, that came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. But I think those questions are inherent to the whole concept of like the Jedi going through the galaxy taking babies. Like,
right.
That's just
okay,
kind
so,
of just problematic.
So I know one big, like, I know we're not big on like lore and canon ultimately, but like, I know one of the like lore breaking contentions with this was that like only like the Force created Anakin, well, Plagueis created Anakin technically, or Sidious,
or Palpatine, or
right.
whoever.
But like the idea was like the Force created Anakin to as the Chosen One to do this Chosen One prophecy thing. So like, does this like by implying heavily without basically saying it? Well, they basically say it that like the Force, like the one witch, like, I created them and I carried them. Like she somehow used the thread to like conceive of these twins in the Force. Like, and there was no father. It's like a miraculous immaculate conception out of the Force that she was able to do that. Like I guess the idea or the contention out on the table is that like that like invalidates or undermines or dilutes like George Lucas and the whole saga of like Anakin being the Chosen One conceived in the Force, like uniquely in history.
Doesn't.
And like this could like,
yeah.
Kind of like tries to trump that.
That
tries
was the
to
other
like,
thing that I was.
But I know that was what
that was
like,
the other thing that they were saying. Like, this
right.
is going to break the lore.
Right.
And I'm like, it.
I don't think
it did.
Force manipulation to that degree is nothing new.
Well, the Night Sisters raised the dead with some kind of dark force
right.
power. Like, I don't. I feel like how do I say this? It's really hard for me to follow that line of thinking when we're watching sci-fi fantasy. Like, none of it's real. Like, it can't. It's
right because
it's
embedded in like the larger.
It's framed in the context of like magic and
but
monks
it's
and
but like the meta of it
and,
like as a franchise, it's embedded in the larger culture war discussion of like they're trying to like erase. Like Luke Skywalker, like erase the original trilogy saga legacy by like retconning and like, you know, like shoving their people to the front and like pushing all the original legacy stuff to the background.
Yeah, but
like that's like
have,
that's the contention
what,
on the cultural front.
To me, I look at that and I think
that's people's bone with the
business,
Last Jedi is that they like
a business decision
ruined Luke.
I mean, look at what happened when they, you know, like with Carrie Fisher died. Like you can't just bank on these.
Right.
Aging characters and like they're not going to be around. Like if you want to continue the brand and the franchise, you have to eventually create new characters for people to follow. Like you can't. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I want every bit of Luke, Han, and Leia and Vader that I can get. Like I'm not saying I don't want that. I am probably.
But time's running out with these actors.
Well, time's running out with the actors, and time's like it's you can only, you know, like I mean, we how many minutes of time can we tell a story about in the all the gaps between all the you know like you just can't. That doesn't have legs. Like long term. I think that that's why I've always said, like, Disney's in a no-win situation. If they lean heavily into the nostalgia, everybody goes, oh, you're not being original. Then you do something that's completely original and go, oh, that's not Star Wars. It's like, okay, well...
So that was even a problem when the prequels came out.
Make both, yeah. Which is what Disney's doing. They're like, okay, we'll give you Kenobi and Acolyte. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I've always thought, like, and I think I've heard some creative people say this, like, it scares them to have to do Star Wars.
Yeah,
because the pressure is so high. Yeah, that's what I was saying
before. Like, the amount, like, they have, you have to know your audience, and you know, like, the Star Wars audience is, like, very, very, they scrutinize everything with a microscope. Like, a,
but the, and like, the, but the audience is so, like, diverse, you can't, like, if you say you're going to make something for the
original trilogy fans. I don't think it's diverse.
I'm talking about, like, in terms of, like, what people want out of it. What people want out of Star Wars. Like, some people want just original trilogy prequels, maybe. Like, they want it to be always the Star Wars of the past. And there's some people who are like, no, I want something new. I want you to go into different time periods, go into different, get outside of the Skywalker saga and tell us some other stories about Star Wars that are completely unrelated. Like, there's, like, you can't win. Like, you, between the, what the critics are going to say, what the fans are going to say, what the, you can't win. That's what I see happening. It's like if you make something that is, you know, heavily leans into Luke or Obi-Wan or Vader, then some people love it, and some people are like, either, oh, that's, you're not doing anything original, you know, that whole complaint. And then if you do something where none of those characters are present, or you do something with those characters that isn't what people expect, then they hate that too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of is it, yeah, lose-lose.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, from a creative perspective, like, I mean, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would, but I think that the, going back to the question of this episode in terms of, like, like, I don't, like, people are saying, oh, this episode's gonna redefine the Force. It's like, what?
Yeah, I think that was overblown. Like, they changed the Force and made it female. And I'm like, no, like, this is just, they obviously, this is a different group that understands it and uses it differently. And that's a cool enough concept. Like, I'm all on board for, like, different parts of the galaxy or even different galaxies that, like, understand this cosmic force, that this galaxy understands it as the Force, but this other group, like, has a different take on it. Sure, that's interesting. That's an analog to real life of, like, how do we understand the divine? Like, that's how we have all the different religions. Like, it makes sense that you'd have, like, and, you know, even the idea of, like, let's call it, like, the thread and pull the thread and, like, you know, like, have thread puns this, that, this way, another way. Like, fine, that, like, run that out, but do it really cool and really, like, organically and, like, because, like, remember, like, when Obi-Wan's, like, describing the Force to Luke in New Hope, it's like, you're, like, in awe, almost. You're, like, awestruck at this, like, idea, like, wow. But, like, I'm not, like, wow, with, like, a thread thing. I'm not, like, whoa. I'm just, like, okay, maybe. Like, that, like, that's, like, let's write a draft idea on a sticky note and put it on the wall. Like, and then, but that's what you just, like, ran with. It's like, no, that was, like, the start of an idea. Like, you need to really flesh.
It was way undercooked.
But, like, it's a great idea on a sticky note for a writer's room. But, like, you have to, like, wow us, like, and, like, blow our hair back, for those of us who still have them, have hair. But, like, like, nothing, like, that's what I'm sad about. Like, nothing is, like, blowing me away anymore. Andor blew me away. But, like, nothing since Mando season one, like, what is that? What is that at the end of Mando season one, episode one? Like, what?
Oh,
what is this? Like, that was, like, that was, like, awestruck in the beginning of Mando season one. Like, this is, wow. Like, this is really promising, right? And then it's just, like, been a, pretty, it's been like a degrade, like Mando season 3 is in a really, like, the whole thing, the whole franchise just, like, fell off the rails between Book of Boba Fett and Mando season 3 to me. It's just like, it's like falling off a cliff to me. It's like losing the enchantment, the wonder. It's like, it's just like soulless and lifeless to me. It's like a husk of what it was, right? It's like the Tauntaun carcass is rotting. It's like, it used to keep you warm and cozy, and now it's just like rotting. And putrid to be hyperbolic.
Charming.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that this episode to me had some cringe, and then it had some what I felt were moments that had weight, like.
Let's go through the likes and dislikes.
Yeah, I didn't like some of the scenes with the sisters were just not good.
Yeah.
Some of the acting just wasn't there. I don't think it was the writing necessarily. It was just.
It was like they did like one take and moved it.
It just didn't quite work. But then I don't know that's. Child actors, it's just like you're just rolling the dice, man. You're just rolling the dice. Like,
but like, okay, my comparison with that was, so remember in House of the Dragon, Bela, in the early episodes, she's like 8 years old and she's supposed to get married to King Viserys. Like, she was like a possible suitor. That actress like carried this, like she carried that scene with a veteran actor. Like Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon manages to figure out how to do child actors. And they get not a cringe word.
But I would say like
it can be done.
It can. I didn't say it can't be done.
Right.
But I'm like, saying it's hard. But
like Leia
to
was
do.
A cringe, right? In my opinion, you know.
I think most of the time when you put really young actors on the screen, it's going to be somewhere between terrible and hit and miss.
Right.
It's rare that you just. And those are really young kids there. Like, that's... I don't know how old those right. actors are, but they're young. So it's hard for me to be, like... For that to be make or break for me, because I just don't expect every scene with child actors to be, you know...
Right.
Like, okay.
But I think that there were other scenes that they did really well. Like, I personally was very touched by the scene with her mom, where she was, like... saying to her, like, this is your choice. And I felt the tension there, like, of how hard it was for her mom to give her that choice, and how that was different from what the other mom was like, no, you can't go, you know. It's like
well, I don't get why, like, why did May like we joked, like, well, that escalated quickly. Like, it just went like all of a sudden, like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm like, whoa. And then she like literally starts a fire. I'm like, where? Like, they didn't really lead up to this. Like, what in the world? Like, she, if it was like, oh, I don't want to lose my sister, or like, I don't want you to go, I want to stay. Like, but like, that's understood. But then it's like,
sometimes
if
siblings
like,
can get pretty.
If I can't have you, then no one can have you. I'm gonna kill you. And I'm like,
sometimes siblings can have pretty.
But it seemed to have switched. Like, when she like went through the ceremony and got her like tattoo thing, it's like she like turned evil. And I'm like, this is, again, like, if you're trying to be like, hey, witches are cool and good, and like, these are the good guys, I'm like, there's not, like, the evidence is that like she turned evil when you made her a witch, and then she went and killed everyone. So like, I'm getting a mixed message here, right?
the impression. So okay, so anyway, dislikes, child acting was a little weak. I do think that. There was a lot of underdeveloped context, which I think is what you were getting at. Like, it's like, we just really don't have enough.
Right.
And that was what was kind of jarring.
It's not so then,
like,
it's and then.
The flashback is just, you're plopped into it, and it's happening, and you don't really know.
Right. Like, could they have spliced this up and, like, interspersed it throughout the regular narrative in a more effective way, and, like, slowly peeled back the story?
I can say that for me,
you know,
like, having read quite a bit of the High Republic content, made it more, this fit into that. Like, I was able to digest that because I'm filling in, like, what I know the High Republic time period is like, which is you have all these different sects of Force users or Force believers,
right.
And they have all these different views and they call it different things, and some of them are more aligned with the Jedi, some are far less aligned with the Jedi, some, the main group in the High Republic, the Path of the Open Hand, is openly antagonistic to the Jedi and wants to destroy them. And so for me, when I'm watching this and I'm thinking about all that literary context of this time period, maybe that helps me to digest it a little more. Like, oh yeah, like, I'm immediately thinking of the Path of the Open Hand, or like there's mm-hmm. a whole book in the High Republic about the Battle of Jeddah, which is when there's this convocation of all the different force believing groups come together for like a conference,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this war, there's this battle that breaks out, right? And like, so like to me that is consistent with the time period, and I think I really like that. I like the idea. Initially when I read that stuff, I was like, but then I really like the idea, like because I growing up, I just thought, right. or even watching the prequels, it was just like, well, the only people with an opinion on the Force are the Jedi and the Sith, and that's it.
And the Sith are like undercover, or like
right. They're the dark side guys, right. and then there's the light side guys. That's the Jedi, and there's mm-hmm. no other. You know,
they had a monopoly on the Force.
Right? Rogue One right. introduced you to
right,
like someone
the Church of the Jedi, almost.
Yeah, and like or like someone like
the Guardians of the
Guardians of the Will.
Yeah, right. and like or someone who's like. You know, I think
he's a light side acolyte, really. Like he's like
well,
a.
Fan, like, what's his name? Right? What's the guy's?
Chirrut.
Yeah. The blind.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you right? kidding like, me? I'm blind.
Like he's not a Jedi,
right.
technically.
But he's one with the Force, and the Force
pretty much is. I mean, the guy freaking
right.
Like, yeah. is so he badass with the Force, fighter. Like.
Yeah.
He shot a TIE fighter off.
Yeah.
Well,
blinded.
Rain.
Yeah.
But, so, I think that what hit for me well, what I liked was two things. Number one is that I'm glad that it didn't do the things I was worried it was going to do. I'm really glad it didn't. Because I don't want people to start with the lore a ton. And I don't want insert here whatever agenda. I don't want to notice that. I want to enjoy the show. I want to enjoy the
Tell a good story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like the story may not have been super strong here, but I wasn't distracted by an agenda, and I wasn't distracted by what I perceived to be like I didn't feel at any point here like I felt when Luke threw his lightsaber behind him.
Yeah.
Like to me, yeah. that was when I was like, yes. oh, like
that's
made
the
me hurt.
Uber example of like,
yeah.
like what do you what is like what's happening
or it's
here?
Time for the Jedi to end. I don't even believe in the Jedi anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
what? Like that's no. This was much more subtle. And I'm glad that what I liked about it was that it created all this gray area, which I guess we still don't know. I think we're going to get more information later, but I actually, because they were saying like, oh, well, this show isn't going to be too kind to the Jedi. Well, three episodes in, I think the only character or set of characters that I would view as not great would be the witches.
I don't know if we're supposed to think that though. I think they're supposed to be the good guys, or they're supposed really? To be like, oh no, like the witches got slaughtered, like the witches died, like oh no. I think we're supposed to be like sympathetic to their plight as like outsiders and outcasts.
Not really.
I didn't feel that at all.
I didn't feel that.
I felt like they were very close-minded. At least the one mother was utterly close-minded. The other mother was close-minded, but she showed the ability to change her mind, mm-hmm. which I thought was very, very good. I think that a lot of that reminded me a lot of like Anakin's when he gets freed. And then it's like, I remember like, that's probably one of the most emotional moments in the whole prequels is that scene where he's, you know, like one minute he's like, Mom, I'm free. I'm going to go be a Jedi. And then he's walking away. He's like, oh, wait,
mm-hmm.
I'm never going to see my mom again.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that when they focused on the human element of those interactions, like, I thought that was very well done. I think that for me, that hit, like maybe part of it is just, I think that worked for, there's parts of that worked for me. I think the scenes where the kids were fighting and arguing and being bratty, those sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the scenes that were more emotional or intimate or interacting with each other without being like that scene where they were like falling into a shoving match during that serious moment. Right. I was just like, what's going on? Like, but like, I do think that it was interesting. I think there was some interesting tension that was drawn out that I felt, and I was like, damn, okay, that's interesting.
Justin?
Can see why kids would... I mean, it's setting up a classic, you know, like, that's a lot, there's a lot of those kinds of stories, you know, where like the two kids, they grow up together, and then...
It's Frozen.
There's a falling out.
That's what you said, it was Frozen,
Frozen
and Kill
in
Bill.
Space, right.
And it's like, they're playing it beat for beat, and it's like, okay, do we, again, blow me away, like, Frozen, that was 10 years ago.
I think well, I mean, I don't know if that's, I mean, I think, I mean, George Lucas literally made the whole Star Wars franchise, the first three movies, based on the most long existing myths in the history of humanity. But but I think that the other thing that I thought was also effective was just Soul.
I could go on about that.
I thought that he's just continuing to deliver just a really consistent caliber of performance that, and really there was only really in my view, like, he was the only real Jedi who really was even really a character in this episode.
Yep, that's true.
The Wookiee's a prop.
Yeah, the Wookiee.
Yeah.
he looked like Chewie, though.
He looked cringe at first when he came in. Like, it looked like he's like wearing like a
hat. Is his head shaved?
Yeah, I think there was like parts of his head that were shaved.
He's
got
that stupid like side shave bun thing. But like, it looked like, it's like, let's put the actor in a regular Jedi chrome, like without like the Wookiee costume, and then put the Wookiee head on a human.
That's what I thought too.
When he walked in, I was like, this looks really bad.
Like, no, it's the same actor that did
I know,
Chewbacca.
But like, they didn't, like, you're supposed to put on the full Wookiee costume and then put clothes on that. It looked like the guy was wearing his regular clothes under his, with his skin, and then they put the Wookiee head on a human body. That's what it looked like when they first came in, to me. That's what it looked like to me. So like, they're trying to like make him be a younger Wookiee or whatever than what we saw before. But it just looked like, I mean, obviously he had like the arms, but like his hands coming out, but like, it didn't seem like there was like a bunch of fur under that costume. It was like a skinny guy with no fur bulk, and then just like plopped the head on top.
I think that was all inherent in, as soon as you decide you're going to have a Wookiee Jedi, it's like, right. Is there a right way to do that?
Yeah. I forgot to mention last time, but like at the end of season of the episode 2, when he's like, you know, he like comes in and like breaks the, and like, I just kept thinking, what have you done to my swamp? Like, I just had big Shrek vibes with that, where he's like grumpy about like villagers like coming to his like swamp lair, you know? But Justin, what are your thoughts?
All right. So, Not much, and to kind of backtrack on like the hype thing, I kind of stayed away from the internet for the last couple of days after the Rotten Tomatoes gabobble.
What happened?
It's like a 50-point spread between the critics and the audience.
So at this point, it's like, okay, the show's not done yet. There's only 2 episodes. I don't give my final verdict on a show until like the very last episode, and even then, I won't. I mean, there's gonna be shows that are gonna suck, and there's gonna be shows that are gonna be possibly 10 out of 10s. It's just the range of how shows work for me. So as far as that goes, I just kind of keep an open mind until after the show's done to give my final verdict. And so far I'm impressed. And I definitely am well aware that that could fall short when the show's over. Biggest example, Rings of Power. I thought that was okay. Not great, but okay. And then it just kind of...
Do you know 2/3 of the audience didn't even finish? They have that data.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I
had to force myself to finish.
But that's an example of what we're talking about, though.
But
which is that before the show came out, there was all this negativity.
It was justified in the end. Like, it turned out to be as bad and worse than I thought.
It can't be justified ahead of time because you haven't seen the show. Like, you might have information, like you were saying, that you can say, well, I'm pretty sure that's an accurate prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, from a if you're going to be a, like no one would take a critic seriously who's like, hey, I haven't watched this. Here's my opinion. Like, what? Like, right. We wouldn't even listen to you. So you do have to watch the content. If you want to have a voice in it, you have to watch it.
Right.
And I think that what you're getting at is that, like, it's like, okay, like, whatever is before, right? Like, for me, to me, like, that, I just don't, like, if I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, and they're making a Rings of Power show, I'm gonna watch it. Now, if it's so bad that I, like Resistance, where I'm just like, I can't finish it, because I just don't want to.
Right.
Fine.
But there's like
but a trend. But that's not because a bunch of people before it came out told me it was going to suck.
It's because there's a trend
it's
of...
because I don't like it.
There's a trend of barbarians pillaging Rome, right? They're pillaging, like, established IPs, and, like, you can just watch, like, dominoes falling over and over, and it's like the train is just steamrolling over all this, like, legacy content, and there's a pattern here. And, like, there's no evidence that this is any different than the pattern, especially as little bits come out. Like, oh, they have, like, the fake fans talking about, like, we're super Tolkien fans. Like, you don't know anything. And then, like, these writers haven't written anything good, and they don't know anything. And it's like, you knew before Rings of Power came out from that evidence and from knowing the lore that, like, this was going to suck. And then, sure enough, it sucks. And it's like, oop, valid. Valid. Like, the predictions were valid. Like,
The predictions... by their very nature, can't be confirmed until whatever they're predicting can be confirmed. If someone's just like, you know what, I'm so sure this is gonna suck, I'm just not even gonna partake in it. I'm not even gonna give it a chance. Totally fine. Like, to me, like, if I'm gonna engage something, I have to at least be open to the possibility that it could be good.
Yeah.
I mean, why would I go watch something where I'm like, I mean, I can't know that it's going to be as bad, even if I have very strong reasons to believe that it's going to suck.
Well, because I have loss aversion, so I'd rather set up a low bar and be, like, pleasantly surprised than, like, go in and keep having my hopes dashed. Like, oh, this time he's changed, he's different, this time he won't be.
Right, but then that becomes a situation.
I'm not
going to
keep subjecting myself
then,
to domestic abuse.
That's like,
you know,
the person, but then you stop watching. But that's, most people don't.
Most people stay in bad marriages where they're, like, getting battered all the time. They don't leave when they should, right? So it's like, just leave. It's like, well, it's not that easy.
So my take on people like that, it's like, I'm really sorry you're going through that. But respectfully, shut up or get out of the relationship. Like, shut up or get out of it. You hate your job.
And how can I help you get out?
You hate your job. You tell me you hate your job every day.
Right.
I hate my job. I hate my job. I hate my job. Shut up and go to work or quit and job. Like, I don't have time to, like, deal with people who are just, like, all the time, but they don't want to stop whatever it is that they're right about. Like, that's exhausting. Like, I don't even, like, I can't, because I would never draw that out. Like, so I think that when you everybody has to make a choice, right? Like, it's hard. I get it. Like, it's hard to, like, I can't imagine deciding to stop watching Star Wars. I don't know that would ever happen to me. I probably won't watch Rings of Power season 2 if there is a season 2, but that's because I really didn't enjoy it. By the time I got to the end, I was like, this looks bad, this is bad.
There is season 2, and they smartly made it so that it does not overlap with House of the Dragon, which is what screwed them last time, too. It's like, they went head-to-head with House of the Dragon. Whoops.
Oh, schedule, you mean like...
It is coming out in, like, September. Oh. But, like, House of the Dragon's coming out on Sunday.
Right.
And it'll be over with before Rings of Power. But, like, when it first came out, it was overlapping. And, like, once House of the Dragon came out, I was like, oh, okay, this is way better. We're going to watch this instead.
Well, but I think, like, for me, that would just be like, okay, well, cool. Like, here's the thing that sucked. I'll probably not continue.
Right.
And I'll just choose to focus on the things
right
that are good. And I think that that's a, you know, I do think that it's a lot more complicated than just all of that, right? Like, we all have emotional attachments, but
Should we do number ratings?
Did you have more?
Yeah. So, okay. Now we get to the stuff that likes and dislikes for me. Dislikes, kind of on the same thing with you guys on the child acting, though. I will admit, there are moments where it was believable. Mm-hmm. Definitely the talk with the mom. I definitely felt there was something there. Basically, when they weren't talking, when May gave the look to Osha about like you're gonna keep your promise, and it's like you can tell that she's not enthused to keep a promise, and you know that that's probably not gonna happen, and like the sheer disappointment in. May's face on like when she felt betrayed. I can definitely see that. Like mm-hmm. So the emoting, good. Line deliveries, not so much.
But the concept of like twins who are super close and then end up divided because of a sharp, you know.
Right.
In on paper that works for me so, as a story.
The witch thing again, like that part of me was going like, okay, maybe different culture, different thought process. No, this is almost on par with Gungans.
Well, I had to laugh when they were like, we were on the brink of extinction. And I was like, does anyone need to explain to them? Like, you are all women, so like, you're going to go extinct eventually. Like, do we need to explain how this works to you guys? Like, how could this happen? How could we go extinct? Like, because you don't have any men around. I don't know. Just saying. What do I know? You know.
But
we were almost went extinct.
That's the same thing with like the Night Sisters of Dathomir. Like, aren't they Darth Maul's parents?
But I think that's like a beehive thing where it was like they have like male drones that are good just for like breeding or whatever, and maybe warriors or whatever.
Yeah,
and then
think,
like it's a matriarchal society.
A little bit smarter than they did.
Which is hilarious that like a cartoon dick has it more thought out than a live action thing.
Is that the case? Is that what they explained?
For the Night Sisters?
Yeah, the Zabrak males were like very lower, like the lowest caste of society because it's like a matriarch. Yes, it's like a they have one use and like it's a matriarchal society, so it's like inverted what we're used to in a patriarchal system, right?
So, now the good things. For me, the biggest one was Saul. I definitely, the more I see that character, the more he's, definitely on there, like on my like top registered Jedi, like Obi-Wan, mm-hmm. Qui-Gon, Kanan Jarrus, Saul. Which, speaking of which, does he have a last name?
I don't think they've said.
Really? No.
When he introduced.
Like he just
when he was
Saul.
Introduced by Trinity, didn't she use a longer name for him or not?
I don't remember.
I should just say this is Saul. This is Master Saul or whatever.
Yeah.
And his Padawan is the other kid that with the beard last time, the floating guy. What's his name?
Tobin.
Is that Indara's apprentice or is that Indara's Saul's apprentice? Okay.
Yeah, just the interaction that he had with Osha was definitely shows like he really does care what he does, like what kind of a Jedi he is, and the last scene with those two kind of hit me a bit hard. It was like, okay, he like really feels remorse on like how everything played out, and. Just that, and I know that's kind of like a Shakespearean thing to promise somebody that you're never going to make them feel sad again, and it's like, okay, this is probably going to go south, but I applaud the effort. So I thought the planet looked kind of cool. Like I don't know if it was just like a distraction, but like it was kind of cool that the two, I think those were moons. Like one of them had like a
ring around
beam,
it, or
like a beam coming out.
That was the same as the Acolyte logo.
Yeah.
Those two moons made that
that's
logo.
What I was
and they did it like right at the eclipse of those two.
Yeah.
It was their ceremony. It was like the moons
had
an eclipse.
I thought that was cool. And the kids acting again if they're not talking, it's great when they talk or the bickering, which I
when they're interacting with each other was when
that was a little
got
hard.
A little rough.
But it I will say this: I've seen worse out of kids,
right?
And I've seen 1,000 times better out of kids. This was definitely not. Dang it! What's that character's name in Game of Thrones? The girl, Mormont.
Yeah,
it's
Lady
no Mormont. Mormont.
Right, she
who
plays
it in Last of Us.
Right, she's that. Yeah, she's
but
Ellie.
It's no Northwest from the Lion King performance. So, but did this kill my interest in the show? No. Is it better than the last two? For me, no. But I'd say that it was a pretty... For an episode that everybody was saying that was going to change the way Star Wars is, it really didn't for me. For me, it felt a little more safe than the first two, to be honest. And
I thought they played this very safe.
Yeah.
I
don't know why
safe.
I would expect anything different
bit
at this
more
point.
Predictable.
No, I mean in terms of they played it safe in terms of what we were expecting them to do with the lore or the agenda. I feel like if anything, I felt like they were super tiptoeing around that. Almost to the point where I'm not even sure that was even on their radar. It just didn't... I mean, there was that one moment, that seemed to indicate that the two mothers were married or romantically involved, I guess. But it was so subtle and so... you could almost interpret it as they were just not... That they weren't.
It was sisterly.
Yeah, just didn't...
Familial affection, which is PG, right?
Yeah,
quite.
They didn't kiss.
Right.
They didn't hug.
It's quite wholesome in a way,
they didn't,
right?
Yeah.
It's like Little House in the Prairie.
I don't know.
You see
because I was expecting.
You see Mr. and Mrs. Brady in bed together, but they're only.
And I didn't get it. So I'm well, I guess they didn't do that.
Of course, you're not going to see that in a Disney Plus show, but.
But I mean, even implied. I mean, you had post sex bed scenes in Andor.
So yeah, that's kind of all I have to say. Not awful, but just a bit shy of it being good,
right.
Solid good.
Yeah.
So,
John.
I just think it's highly sterile, predictable, wooden, cringe. Nothing surprised me, nothing was oh wow. It was more oh, really? A lot of it was oh, okay. Especially just out of the blue, I want to kill you, and then I'm gonna start a fire, and then this fire is suddenly gonna engulf this entire stone palace somehow, and I'm pretty sure that something went down, that the Jedi, there was some misunderstanding that resulted in all the witches dying, that Mei is gonna rightfully or wrongfully interpret as the Jedi slaughtered her whole family. I think she's gonna misunderstand what she saw, just OSHA missed out what, she didn't see what happened because she was in the tunnel. I think Mei thinks she saw something that happened that may or may not have happened, And that's why she's like, that's why she's out for revenge or whatever.
Well, I think that the only reason that none of that bothers me right now is because I do think we're supposed to still be in the dark about
the plot. No, it doesn't bother me. I just think, like, yeah. So, I don't know. Just wasn't... I don't know if this is for me. Like, I don't know if it's, like, made for me or it's, like, my cup of tea. Like, I know Andor wasn't everyone's cup of tea, so... And it's okay if, like, everything isn't someone's cup of tea. Like, Ahsoka wasn't really my thing either because I just didn't have, like, first-hand affinity for the character, you know, and all that.
Mm-hmm. See, like, to me, this I feel like that this is a... For me, this is a tier, quite a bit of a tier above Ahsoka for me. I mean, there's parts of Ahsoka that...
Slap part.
Yes. Like, that... This show,
and then there's like
touch.
Uber cringe,
but that's because
in Ahsoka
it's
too.
Not dealing with Ahsoka and Anakin, and like so it can't slap that way for me. But like, I do think that this generally like when I think about all of the stuff I've seen from Star Wars Disney on Disney Plus, I personally like feel like there's a lot of content that's below this for me. In terms of just delivery, writing, pacing, it's just a little bit more consistently better. There isn't any filler. I prefer to just be told a story. I think that's a whole different conversation around the streaming era and how that affects storytelling. But
yeah, David, quickly, and then quickly rating. So we have like 5 minutes.
Pretty much agree with what you guys have all already said. It's a lot of open-ended questions as far as, you know, what happened, what could have happened. Kind of in the same boat with you, Sean, as far as continuing on from the first two episodes. Didn't really feel much for this episode. Didn't really feel pulled into the story. Couple moments, like when the kids were talking with the mom, that kind of were like, okay, that makes sense. Other than that, the child acting really, really hit or miss. I didn't feel there was much in the story, but I guess they might be trying to build something up for the fourth episode.
Yeah, I think they intentionally left things out.
Kind of felt
I
like
hope.
The, yeah. I kind of felt like the witches were just like a cheap knockoff, like a Wish version of Night Sisters. But I don't know. Maybe they're a lead up to something with that too. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. All right. I felt like it was aesthetically too. Like the witches just felt very
wooden?
Clean.
Huh? Everything in the show is way too crisp and clean and like that's stagey, true. Like a stage play quality to it. In my opinion, it looks too much like a production, and it's not like you're not like lost and immersed in the world. It's a soundstage. You can tell, you know, which is like 90s Star Trek kind of feel, and I don't know if that's what they're going for, but that's. How it comes across.
Some of the scenes with the witches and what they were, the sounds they were making and the movements they were making and the
that's kind of super like cringe.
So Star Trek.
For me.
It was like Star Trek-y.
Right.
And I don't mean that. I think Star Trek has its own charm and its own way of doing things that works for them, but I think that I think that can just be chalked up to like, you know. Sometimes some of that stuff just hits people different, but I don't know, that's a whatever, but yeah.
You want to kick off the ratings, Justin?
All right. I kind of had to marinate a bit of it, but after, because like I think at the beginning I was like, it's in the 7 somewhere, but as the time went on, I was like, okay, it might not be that strong. So, I'm going to have to go with a 6.8 out of 10. I mean, it wasn't awful, it wasn't game-changing, but it's just a bit shy from good.
Sean?
I like to start at 5 and then add points and the, or take away points. So my final rating is 3.5.
I was going to rate it like right around 4 or 5, so pretty close on that one. Aaron.
I'm going to say 6.5 for now. The reason I say that is that I really do think that, for me anyway, like, I need to watch this again now that I've gotten, like, I feel like
you could take off the expectation lens or whatever.
Yeah,
or
like, because I was lens. So focused on, like, okay, where's right. the...
Yeah, like, you can watch it unclenched, where's the, like, right?
Like, yeah, like, I... Not that I was... I think I need to watch it again without... Now that I know that, like,
right.
okay, I'm not going to be, like, angry at the
and
end.
And see if it, like,
or
improves or not.
Be, yeah, like, I think that... Generally speaking, my concerns primarily revolve around quality at this point. Like, I don't think that there was anything where I was watching it where I felt like an agenda or canon or lore took me out of it. The primary reason that we watch this stuff and talk about it is because we love Star Wars. It's just really tiring sometimes to it's just like, this is a perfect example of it to me. It's just like, I can't believe that this is what people were predicting. Like, that's it? That's it. Like, nuts, this crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. And that to me just shows how ridiculous this culture war stuff is. It's just, it's making something out of nothing for whatever reason people want to make something out of nothing. Like, if I had watched this and I thought it did the things that they were predicting, I would say it. But it didn't. But unfortunately, it's permanently burned in our brain now that leading up to this, that's what we were all thinking about and worried about. And it's like, that's really unfortunate, because I think it's unfortunate for us as fans to have to sift through all that or to even worry about, like, how we're all going to react to whatever's going to be in the show instead of just being able to just watch it and enjoy it. But I also think that it's sad that, like, I really do personally, like, one of the reasons I don't like it when people get, like, really nasty about how much they don't like something, like when they go, like, this show is garbage, I'm like, oh, okay, it's interesting. Here's the person who just spent the last 3 years of their life making this show. Would you say that to them, to their face? Like,
yeah, they would.
Your show is garbage!
Yeah, they would.
Have you seen Fanboys?
Yeah, they would do that. Oh, they would.
You think they would?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's yeah. terrible. Like, I don't want anybody to ever come to me and say, your work is garbage. Like, I mean... Everybody has their opinion.
Part of it goes with the territory, though.
Yeah, sure, of course. Of course.
Like, if you're an artist or whatever.
But I do think that it's... I do think that it's... It's just like... I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched something that I didn't like. And then you watch behind the scenes, and then you just admire the creative passion and hard work that people put into a lot of this stuff.
But there is like a... There is like a symbiotic irony, or a, like... I could say like a parasitic irony of like... Like, people whose channels are sustained by, like, waves of hate, as it were. Like, the waves of, like, the cycles of outrage is what, like, is the bread and butter for, like, their monetization of their income, right? So, like, this channel exists to just, like, shred nerddom to shreds. Like, just, we're just gonna, you know, be the old man from The Simpsons, like, yelling at the clouds all day long. And it's like, there's an irony to the fact that, like, they... absolutely rely on Disney continually turning out stuff that they can just lambast to like keep their thing going. So it's like a parasitic relationship.
To me, it's like you just to me, someone who was saying that the whole time, after if someone had seen this before me,
yeah,
and said this is going to kill Star Wars, it's lesbians in space, and it's going to destroy Anakin's canon story, and then I watched that, you just lost credibility with me entirely.
Right.
Like, if you watched what I just watched and that's what you got out of it, I don't have a common ground with you to like understand what I just saw.
Right.
Like, I don't even know. Like, it's one thing to say, I just really didn't like it. Well, that's, that's true. Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about that. Like that's just like anything else. But like, it's when people like, I just think it's really unfortunate. I mean, it's a byproduct of the internet, right? It's right. Like, we can be mean and nasty to people because we're not really actually, you know. Right. Plus, honestly, like, I don't think Leslie Headland gives two shits what most people think anyway. Like, I mean, I don't think, if I was Leslie Headland, I wouldn't be reading any of that or watching any of that. But I think that it's unfortunate that that is an inescapable part of being in any fandom at this point, I guess. I really was pretty touched this week by the fact that Josh on Den of Nerds liked the show and was very vocal about it. That was encouraging to me. It was like, oh, this, some people will actually be able to be, have their minds changed about expectation versus what they see. Or like, even Star Wars Theory put out that video today, like, hey, before tonight, I don't know if you saw that, where he was like, hey, let's just make sure we're not mean and nasty about it. And like, I love that. I love that Theory, like, for me, Theory, there's things about Theory I like and things about him that I don't like. But what I think is very clear, like his point was like, look, like, let's just be very clear. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he can be very passionately outspoken about his distaste for Disney Star Wars.
Yep.
But at the same time, but I respect that because I think he's completely genuine. I don't think he's trying to like do what you were saying, like where you're like, I have to monetize my hate. I think he's just genuinely has a very specific view of Star Wars and things that he likes and doesn't like, but he made it very clear, like, and said some things even on in the previous videos this week. Like, it's like I really don't care. Like, who cares if the person who made the show is a lesbian? Like,
right? He's like, tell a good story.
Like,
right.
Yeah,
I'm here for Star Wars.
Right. Yeah, like who? Like, I just don't know why that. It's unfortunate that has to.
So, but take so one dynamic is that like so people that are critical of the show or even haters of the show, like they can say this show is garbage. But they don't go as far as to say, like, and if you like the show, you're an idiot. They don't explicitly say that. It's implied, I guess, that, like, my taste is better than yours, and if you like it, like, you have poor taste. But, like, the other side is, like, if you don't like the show, it's because you're an istinophobe. Like, they're right. Explicitly saying,
well, those are
you
both
just don't
ridiculous.
Like strong black characters. And it's like, no, nobody said that, right? So, like right. Only one side is making, like
that's
why, ad hominem attacks.
That's
the other
why
one is like,
I
this
always
is bad
shy
content.
Away from
right.
Motive. Like, right. I don't want to make comments about motive because I don't know. If someone right. says, I didn't like this show because the acting was bad.
Right.
I don't say,
that's just because
no,
you're a
it was
whatever.
Because
right.
you're a racist.
Yes. That, but yeah, only one side is making that argument. That's what is frustrating. The other side is not. They're just saying, we don't like this. And then they fill in the blank of, you don't like it because. Like, they're finishing the sentence.
But there are people who are saying, there are people this week who said, I haven't seen this episode yet, but I already don't like it, and here's why.
The ones I saw was the ones who like saw it because they got the four episodes ahead of time, and they either broke their NDA or stretched it to its limit or just said, I don't even care about the NDA. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're allowed to talk about all four, but, like, other ones were strategically choosing only to talk about them as they release. But, like for whatever reason, some of them that had seen all four went into depth of all four. Like, Chris Gore comes to mind from Film Threat. Like, he laid out, go watch his, like, episode 3 breakdown from, like, Thursday. Like, he like, spoiled it. Spoiled 3 and 4 on his thing with warning. But, like,
wow.
he like, was like, this is what happens in episode 3, and here's why I don't like it.
Was his criticism because of a woke agenda or lore breaking? Or is he
lore,
just saying it
was more lore
good?
Stuff and not good. Like, it was some lore, but mostly just, it's not good.
I mean, that's a stupid reason to break your NDA.
Just I don't know if he broke an NDA or like if it's it. Just, like, like or if it's that, like, he's missing the train. Like, if you're trying to run a channel on analytics, you're, like, And if you shoot your load too fast, right? Then you're missing the wave. Like now, like tomorrow and the next day is the day to release your episode 3 stuff, not before it airs. But they started a whole new cycle with that. Like that, like Chris Gore's like scoop, as it were. Like he decided to like scoop it by like setting this conversation that spawned all weekend. Like he kind of started on Thursday this 5-day conversation. And that's everyone else's videos were all talking about the same thing, and there's like the same 2 or 3 articles. Everybody's talking about these same like locus points. Like we put it on the wall of crazy, all the strings point to like a few different things over the weekend that everyone's making spawn off videos of the same article or articles, right?
So it's our responsibility.
It's like this whole ecosystem.
It's our responsibility as fans, which is something that Josh on Den of Nerds articulated this week, where he was like, "Look, I've read all the leaks. I haven't seen the show yet, so I can't tell you definitively if this is going to be what people are saying it is or not."
Right.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen it yet. Like, this person over here has seen it, and they're saying XYZ. Well, that's not a good sign. But...
You got to see it.
Right. I got to watch it. And I've just been... to borrow your term, like being burned so many times, like I can't tell you how many times, not just in Star Wars, where I've heard the outrage machine fire up about something, and then I'll watch it or read it, and I'm like,
that's what the fuss was about?
That's what the fuss was about? And that's on both sides.
Everything we're seeing is copium. Like, everyone's coping with this. The floodgates are just flooding over everything. Like, the culture war is just invading every nook and cranny of everything. And, like, it used to be, like, this used to be a safe, sacred space. And now, like, it's invading my sacred, safe space, my nerddom. Like we need to keep the barbarians from the gates of our nerddom, right?
No,
so there's cope reactions on both
sides.
And
I think that's what I saw from Star Wars Theory and Josh this week, was, like, you could see that they were, like,
yeah.
Well, they wanted to maintain their passion, but they were like, hey, like, we need to be really careful here about letting this go down a track that just
was on, like, with Critical Drinker and a bunch of other people over the weekend, and, like, they were going into, like, episode 3 and 4, like, spoilers, and, like, poor Theory, I just wanted to give him a hug. This guy, like, he was so deflated, and, like, his, like, the video he put out today, that looked like a speech you give at, like, a wake for your brother. Like, he is the deflated, like, he seems like he's this close to, like, deleting his channel out of, like, frustration with, like, he's an identity crisis of, like, I don't think he likes Star Wars anymore, but he can't, like, step away from it because it's, like, his brand. Like, I have a, like, it just doesn't,
think,
he, the poor guy is, like,
could, I think
the life is
sucked
out of him.
Stop covering Disney Star Wars entirely and still
go back to the comics and fan films
and
stuff.
Still have his
and I wouldn't be surprised if he announces that's what he's going to be doing, because he seems like completely, like, torn between, like, feels like he has to cover this stuff, but he doesn't really, in his heart of hearts, I don't think he wants to, I don't think he likes it, but he, like, has to, feels like he has to do it and has to do live streams or whatever.
Well, I'll
cut all this out, don't worry.
Well, thanks for joining in. This has been another episode of Trench Report, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.